What's shaking, everyone? Hey, Michael here. I'm excited to jump this series or this show into Proverbs chapter 10. And I love this chapter. There's actually a lot of great little kind of one-offs that we can use to obtain and use wisdom practically in our lives. You know, a lot of times people say, well, yeah, I understand the Bible's, you know, been around forever. I understand it has wisdom. I understand some of these things, but how can I take some of these things and apply them to my life? Well, you're going to learn that today in Proverbs chapter 10. You're going to love it as I go through. So make sure you get your Bible, get your highlighter, and let's get ready to rock and roll. All right, Proverbs 10. Before we jump in, though, let's have a word of prayer. God, I just want to thank you for the opportunity to be able to connect via technology here. And I just ask, God, that these things that are spoken, which is from your word, would impact the hearts and minds of those that are receiving it. God, I just pray that it would not just be words spoken, but lives changed as this wisdom is applied. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so let's jump in here. Proverbs chapter 10. If you got the same Bible that I have, I'm on page 544, just like a book, right? Proverbs 10, it says, "A wise child brings joy to a father. A foolish child brings grief to a mother." Now, we could stop right there and realize that, you know, just in a practical sense, if you're a parent, you know exactly what this is talking about, right? I mean, if you have a child that listens to you, you have a son or a daughter that's listening to you and is following the ways and not trying to create mischief with their brothers and sisters, you know, that kind of a thing, going to bed when they need to, doing their homework, all this stuff that kids need to do, you know what that looks like. And it does bring joy, because the opposite of that is frustration, right? Like, oh my gosh, would you just listen to what I'm asking you to do? So it starts right out with that. A wise child brings joy to a father. A foolish child brings grief to a mother. Verse 2, it says, "Tainted wealth has no lasting value, but right living can save your life. The Lord will not let the godly go hungry, but he refuses to satisfy the craving of the wicked." Notice it's a craving. Interesting. Verse 4, "Lazy people are soon poor. Hard workers get rich." Take note of that, guys, especially if you're young. Hey, how do you make wealth and keep wealth? Well, don't be lazy. Get focused. Do what you need to do when you need to do it, and then the day will come when you can do the things that you want to do when you want to do it. So important. Get focused in your life. A wise youth harvests in the summer, but one who sleeps during harvest is a disgrace. Now, you may not be a farmer. You might be like, you know what, Mike, I don't have a farm field. I'm not out harvesting crops. But if you're working and you're in life, or you're trying to build a business, or you're trying to grow in your life, you got to know that there's a time for work and then there's a time for sleep. And if you're not dedicated to working hard, then you're going to have problems financially. I remember Zig Ziglar used to always give the analogy of the water pump. If you ever know the water pump back in the day, where it was like old school water pump, it was on like a base, and you would pump it and pump it and pump it and pump it and pump it. And what you were doing initially with the water pump, this isn't the more modern water pumps that are cheap, like that are already hooked up to the water supply and you turn it up one time and water comes out. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the old school ones that had a pipe that goes all the way in the ground, and you had to pump and pump and pump and pump and pump. What a lot of people don't know is that when you're initially pumping that water pump, what you're doing is you're actually creating suction and pressure in the tube to start drawing the water that you can't see yet up. And if you stop that pump, then the water will go right back down. Now, what's also interesting is if you are in a place where you have that water pump and you here's what you do. You just start pumping like this. Nice and easy, nice and slow. For those that can't see me, you're just listening to me. What's going to happen is you're not going to build up enough pressure that the water is going to come up the pipe, and therefore you'll never get water. But if you really go after it, if you pump and pump and pump and pump and pump and really go after it, then you'll create the pressure. The water will come up the pipe. You know what's great is after the water starts to come out the pipe, guess what you can do? You can literally slow down how you're pumping the water pump. Why? Because the pressure's been created. the water's come out, and now you can slow the process down. If you're old school and you've ever done something called siphoning gas out of a gas tank, young kids are going to be like, what is that? Well, go Google it, right? You know what I'm talking about. You create the pressure. You do that by sucking it out, and then eventually it keeps coming out. Same principle here. So in life, it's the same idea with success. A lot of times people have an idea. You have an idea and you're like, hey, you know what? I want to be successful. But you know, I'll just put in a little bit of an effort. I mean, I worked 3 hours today. What do you want from me, Mike? I worked 4 hours. I worked 8 hours today. But when I worked, I was kind of messing around. I was on my phone. I was talking to people. I wasn't focused. I was distracted. I didn't write the 5 things down that I want to get done today. I was mentally scattered and I was all over the place. So what else do you want from me? Well, what I'm challenging you to do in relation to this verse is to say, let's get focused and harvest when it's time to harvest. Get focused when it's time to get focused. And you know what? Yes, there's times where you can just relax. Nothing wrong with that. You need to do that. But a wise youth, verse 5, harvests in the summer, but one who sleeps during harvest is a disgrace. Verse 6, the godly are showered with blessings, and the words of the wicked conceal violent intentions. Verse 7, we have happy memories of the godly, but the name of a wicked person rots away. The wise are glad to be instructed, but babbling fools fall flat on their face. Again, going back to that, we've heard this as kind of a theme through Proverbs, that it just seems to be those that are wise, those that want to grow in knowledge, those that want to grow in life, are in a situation where they are open to instruction. It's very interesting as we see that. Verse 9, it says, people with integrity walk safely, but those who follow crooked paths will be exposed. Verse 10, people who wink at wrong cause trouble, but a bold reproof promotes peace. Now, what that's talking about here is kind of winking at it like, yeah, it's not that big a deal, right? So what? Okay, that's kind of what it's referring to. The words of the godly are a life-giving fountain. The words of the wicked conceal violent intentions. Hatred stirs up quarrels, but love makes up for all offenses. I love that. You know, the greatest of these is love. There's a chapter, it's called the love chapter in the Bible in Corinthians, and it talks about love is patient, love is kind, love keeps no record of wrong, love, you know, all of these things that true love actually does. I got to be honest with you, that is not easy. It's tough to do. And, you know, a lot of times we might in life be like, yeah, that sounds really good. I want to live that way also. But what happens is, unfortunately, we don't really have the opportunity to express that kind of love unless we go through challenging times. And when you think about it, when you grow, you know, the old, what doesn't kill you makes you stronger, right? We know there's so many quotes around it. Champions are not made on feather beds and all of these other things. And so how we grow is through adversity. And why that is, I don't know. But that has always been the way we operate, and it's always been the way that we live. And so when you think about that in life, it's like, let's think about what are we doing when adversity comes and trouble comes. Like, let's make sure that we're focused on growing through those times. 12, verse 12, hatred stirs up quarrels, but love makes up for all offenses. 13, and I have this highlighted, by the way, in my Bible, verse 13, it says, wise words come out of the lips, come from the lips of people with understanding, but those lacking sense will be beaten with a rod. Some of you are probably saying, you know what? Hey, I know some people, Mike, that need beaten with a rod because they are full of nonsense. We need a little bit of that today. You know, the Bible says in another place, it says the rod of correction drives out foolishness. Spare the rod, spoil the child is another one. Now, what we're talking about here is not beating necessarily your kids. We're talking about discipline and correction. And I can tell you from my own personal experience, I've seen that in our kids as we discipline in a way out of love. where we talk about here's what you did wrong, and then we correct. Now, sometimes I've done it wrong, and the majority of the times, hopefully, Lord willing, we've done it right in a way that we've used an actual, it's called the rod of correction. We use a tool. Now, we don't really spank our kids anymore because they're of age and there's not a need for that. But I can tell you as a parent that the world says, oh, don't do that. But that's part of God's discipline. And I can tell you as a parent personally, I have seen with our kids, man, sometimes it's like instant change. And you're like, wow, that wouldn't have happened by just saying, take a time out, put your nose in the corner, or taking your video games. It's just interesting when you follow the principles of God's word, not Mike's word, but of God's word. When you follow those principles and you apply them to the best of your ability as you keep getting better, the results that happen are very interesting. Wise words, again, 13, come from the lips of people with understanding, but those lacking sense will be beaten with a rod. Verse 14, wise people treasure knowledge, but the babbling of a fool invites disaster. I mean, how many times have you had a conversation with someone and you knew that they are just flat out lying to you, and they continue to go on and on and on, and maybe they've lied so much that they don't even know they're lying at this point in time themselves. They believe their own stuff. Verse 15, the wealth of the rich is a fortress. The poverty of the poor is their destruction. And by the way, that's a little verse there for people that might say, well, you know, I don't think Christians should have money. I don't think Christians should have money, right? It's bad. I got to tell you guys, there's nothing in the Bible that talks about there's anything wrong with money. What it does say that the love of money is root of all evil. So if you look at money as a tool, it's a library card. It gives you access. There's nothing wrong with having it. And the verse 15 says, the wealth of the rich is their fortress. Nothing wrong with that. Verse 16, the earnings of the godly enhance their lives, but evil people squander their money on sin. People who accept discipline are on the pathway to life, but those who ignore correction go astray. Hiding hatred makes you a liar. Slandering others makes you a fool. You know, and I think this is so important because when you get into, we'll call it relational challenges, where you have a relationship with someone, whether it's a spouse or a mother or father, whatever it may be. And if you have a seed of hatred in your heart for them, for whatever reason, the Bible says here that hiding hatred in verse 18, hiding hatred makes you a liar. And if you practically think about that, if you're in a place where you have hatred or disdain for someone else, and you don't say, hey, you know what, I'm really struggling with this with you right now, and you don't talk about it, maybe because they've done something that they've harmed you in some way, maybe physically, maybe verbally, maybe neglect, I don't know. But you got to get that off your chest. And then the other thing is, you know, you also have to evaluate, is this hatred coming from something that actually occurred, or was it from a small thing that you allowed to fester and grow and in a lot of ways become a stronghold and then a foothold in your own life? And then that hatred grew to the place that it is really unfounded. In other words, your reason to dislike or hate this person has been derived from something that was small that you allowed to fester and grow and think on and talk on and call all your girlfriends and guy friends and say, hey, you know what, they did this and they did that. And then they say to you, yeah, you know what, well, that's not right. And they shouldn't, whatever. And then it just starts to build. And by the way, if you don't have friends in your life that are willing to be bold and honest with you and say, time out, that's a small thing. And if there's an offense there, you need to go tell them about that, discuss that, deal with it, and move on. Like, get it out. Don't burn. How many times have people in life you've seen and you heard of the old saying of in relationships where people would just bury the challenge under the rug? I don't want to talk about it. 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 Well, that is no way to deal with things. And it just lumps up under the rug. And you can see that it's there. But unfortunately, sometimes people can get in a place in their own mind where they're just like, I don't want to look. I don't want to see it. I don't want to see that it's there. I don't want to acknowledge that it's there. And what happens is we end up having more and more challenges in life. And the Bible says that hiding hatred makes you a liar because you're not actually dealing with something that's real in your life. Verse 19, too much talk leads to sin. Be sensible and keep your mouth shut. The words of the godly are like sterling silver. The heart of a foolish, a fool, is worthless. I just want to go back to verse 19 real quick because, you know, it says, be sensible and keep your mouth shut. Have you ever had a conversation with someone? And by the way, I'm going to raise my hand and say I struggled with this when I was younger, where when someone would have a conversation with me, I was listening, but I was really only listening to be in a situation where I wanted to respond. I was just kind of waiting to respond. Have you ever had a conversation with someone like that where you know that they're hearing you, but really they're just, And then as soon as you get done talking, they're like, yeah, so anyways, you know, what do you think about, they weren't listening to you. They were just waiting to speak. And I love this. You know, it says here, be sensible and keep your mouth shut. Too much talk leads to sin. So it, to me, that reminds me of the idea of like, not that you don't want to give your opinion. I'm not suggesting that. What I'm suggesting is take a minute to say, you know what, less is more. Maybe listening and hearing and understanding and then respond with sensible words, not just a bunch of speech that doesn't necessarily apply because you like to hear yourself talk, if you will. The words of the godly, verse 20, are like sterling silver. The heart of a fool is worthless. Verse 21, the words of the godly encourage many, but fools are destroyed by their lack of common sense. The blessing of the Lord makes a person rich, and he adds no sorrow with it. There's a verse, a series of verses in Deuteronomy chapter 8, and I'm going to paraphrase, but it talks about the fact that really the idea of understanding that what you have is from the Lord. God gives you the ability to get wealth. And it talks about that because it's talking about the idea of don't forget the Lord your God when you've become wealthy, when you have all these things, when you have all this stuff. Like, don't forget God in all this stuff because he's the one that gives you the ability to get wealth. He's the one that gives you the ability to have breath to wake up in the day and so on and so on. And it's so important. Verse 22, where am I at? I lost my train of thought, guys. I'm sorry. Verse 22, the blessing of the Lord makes a person rich, and he adds no sorrow with it. Verse 23, doing wrong is fun for a fool, but living wisely brings pleasure to the sensible. The fears of the wicked will be fulfilled. The hopes of the godly will be granted. When the storm of life comes, the wicked are whirled away, but the godly have a lasting foundation. 26, lazy people irritate their employers like vinegar to the teeth or smoke in the eyes. Have you ever gotten smoke in your eyes and it's just like, ah, gosh, I can't, it burns, right? And I kind of highlighted that. Lazy people irritate their employers. Listen, hey, all of you that are out there that are working for someone, don't be lazy. Go above and beyond. You say, well, I hate my job. I want a better job. I don't think, whatever. Well, here's the best way to get a better job. You ready for this? Give your current job your best shot. And then you'll grow into a place that you will be someone that your employer wants to keep, needs to keep. And if he doesn't or she doesn't, you got a great opportunity to go find a job somewhere else because you are the type of person that is above and beyond all the time. Verse 27, fear of the Lord lengthens one's life, but the years of the wicked are cut short. The hope of the godly result in wickedness, but the expectations of the wicked come to nothing. The way of the Lord is a stronghold to those with integrity, but it destroys the wicked. And verse 30, the godly will never be disturbed, but the wicked will be removed from the land. The mouth of the godly person gives wise advice, but the tongue that deceives will be cut off. And lastly, verse 32, the lips of the godly speak helpful words, but the mouth of the wicked speaks perverse words. Now, listen, I know that's a lot, and I know it's not normal for us sometimes in our life today to read through an entire chapter of God's word. So there's a lot of meat there, and that's one of the things that I'm excited about, hopefully, as you watch through these and do this on a monthly basis. My challenge is that you do this over and over and over and over again, every single month, you know, maybe for a year. You're going to get something from it. You know, it's not just go through it once and it'll be like, okay, I got it, I'm good. No, this is something that you can rinse and repeat every single month. That's why there's 31 of these that you can do every day. If you started late, you can go back or just start whatever day that we're on and follow us with. And then next month, start, you know, on one, however you want to do that. But what I will tell you is the more time and energy and effort you put into this, meaning getting your own Bible, getting a highlighter, maybe getting a white sheet of paper and making some notes as we're going through this, you know, maybe put this up on YouTube, on your TV as an example, and then make notes if you like to make notes on your phone or a white sheet of paper, whatever works for you. But the more you're engaged in this process, the more you're going to get from it. And the goal here is not just to receive things, but the goal is to take some things and say, okay, how can I apply them to my life? As an example, verse 26, lazy people irritate their employers like vinegar to the teeth or smoke in the eyes. You know, maybe you're an employee and you have to step back for a minute and ask yourself, have I been lazy? And maybe your default answer is, no, I'm not lazy. I show up to work. I have a pretty good attitude. You know, I'm always there. I feel like I'm going above and beyond, etc. But the question is, are you going above and beyond? Are you really doing all that you could do? Are you really as present, you know, when you're there as you could be? Are you spending time, you know, throughout the day on your phone? You may not know this, and I'll share this with you now, but if it's not your break, like lunch or whatever, if it's not your break time and you're in a place where you are on your phone texting your family or checking social or texting a spouse or a friend, like I want you to clearly understand that is stealing from your employer. Now, you may say, well, that's a little bit crazy, Mike. Well, it may sound crazy to you, but it is. And let me tell you why. Because your employer is paying you for the job that you are at work to do. They're not paying you to text your family or friends or check your social media account, unless the social media account is such that you're, you know, using it obviously to help grow the business. And even then you have to check your own spirit and say, am I really doing it to grow the business or am I just horsing around on it? I want to challenge you to really think about your life. Like, don't just go through this and be like, yep, okay, that was interesting. Got it. Check, move on, and go about your day. Really evaluate some of these things. And that's why I'm saying make notes along the way and say, what are some things that I can pull out here that I can learn, that I can apply, and that I can grow? Be blessed. We'll talk to you next one.